Want to say a special thanks to the youth for their presentation this morning. After seeing some of those pictures, I think it's Tyler who should have given the disclaimer about scaring the children. But seriously, just an absolutely wonderful presentation and how we thank God for their ministry. I had my first experience with Harvest Day. And so I whipped out the cell phone and this is Harvest Day in Coaldale, Alberta, Canada. Proceeds of this harvest will be given to feed poor, hungry people all around the world. Here's the barley that they will be harvesting. I'm just a city boy. This was a big deal for me. I learned a lot thanks to Larry and Ed and others gathered around there trying to help this ignorant city kid from the United States figure some of this out. It was quite the dust bowl. But one of the biggest discoveries I had was the price on a brand new combine. Wow. I had no idea. But this comes from some pretty good sources. And that's kind of a pretty machine, isn't it? As you look at it there. But thanks to those who invited us. We had a wonderful time. And what a tremendous cause, just an exciting thing. Turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. We're finally going to finish this first chapter, and some of you say, man, we're in sermon number 6, there's only 10. How is he going to do this? Well, you'll see, but today we're just looking at the great sea monster in chapter 1 and verse 17, and here it is. From the New Living Translation, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, as a baby boomer, I grew up with some very strange monsters. I can remember seeing the black and white versions of The Mummy, The Haunted House on the Hill, King Kong. In the 60s, scary science fiction movies were all the rage on Friday night television. We had this host in Cleveland, Ohio, at the local CBS station there that broadcast to Mansfield, where I lived. And his name was Goulardi. Get it? Ghoul? Goulardi. And on Friday nights, he would host these scary movies. And what was probably very technologically advanced for the time, he inserted himself running from the monsters in some of the clips. It was amazing to us. We were just overwhelmed by that technology. I mean, who could forget flicks like Godzilla? I warned you. One of my personal favorites in that era was The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. I am not making this up. Some of you still don't believe me? Okay, I found the original trailer for this film. Oh, this film made young men everywhere think twice about breaking up with their girlfriend. You see, there was this guy who used to date the 50-foot woman before her genes got mutated, okay? And after the accident, he was very, very sorry that he left her for another girl. Well, you'll just have to rent the video. Then in the 70s, oh, the nice people at Universal Studios brought us Jaws and an undetermined number of sequels. Five. Oh, I loved We're going to Need a Bigger Boat. More recently, of course, we've had to deal with the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, overgrown alligators in Lake Placid, huge anaconda snakes, King Kong again, and the return of the mummy. Now, whether by air, land, or sea, these monsters all had two things in common. First, they were incredible. The enormous size and power of these scary creatures was overwhelming and frightening. Second, they seemed invincible. Who could possibly defeat these gigantic beasts? In the end, however, we discover the monsters, though inconceivably terrifying, were not invincible. Now, some translations refer to the huge fish that swallowed Jonah as a great sea monster. Was it a whale? Was it a shark? Was it a northern pike? We don't know the exact species, but one thing is certain. It was large enough to swallow Jonah in one slurp and provide lodging for 3 nights. Now, I've always wondered about something very spooky in this text this morning. Did Jonah see this thing coming? Did he watch the eyes of this massive sea creature as the mouth opened and he disappeared into that dark abyss? What an eerie scenario. And I'm going to have a whole lot more to say about the prophet's blubber bath next week. But the point I want to focus on today is this. The monsters are coming for you and for me. The monsters are coming. Just like Jonah's great fish, there will seem to be those incredible, even invincible things arise in our lives, but there is hope. I want us to consider 3 questions in your notes. First, where do the monsters come from? Would you write that down? Where do they come from? The Bible indicates monsters come from 3 sources. And I want us to briefly consider each point of origin. First, the monsters of self. The monsters of self. We can do many things, can't we, to harm ourselves. In Uniontown, Pennsylvania, there is a cemetery with an inscription on the tombstone that reads, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake." I'm not making that up. That's a real tombstone in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. One thing is very clear in our story here. Jonah created his own sea monster. Had he not rebelled against the unambiguous call of God, there would have been no trip to Tarshish. This means there would have been no need for the horrendous hurricane, the discarding of Jonah, the intervention of the great fish. In fact, think about this. Without a wayward prophet on board, the journey from Joppa to Tarshish would have been smooth sailing all the way. But Jonah's blatant disobedience created a menacing wind and a monstrous whale that swallowed him whole. Did you know that we too can give birth to our own monsters through acts of stubborn defiance? I want you to write that down. Through acts of our stubborn defiance, we can give birth to monsters. James reminds us, temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. Think about the beasts that were unleashed in King David's life after his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. These tragic events did not have to happen to the king, but they became inevitable once David chose to satisfy his lusts at any cost. King Solomon found himself surrounded by the monsters of emptiness when he walked away from the Lord. Although he was inundated with fun and fortune and fornication, the king was unable to enjoy any of it. In fact, Ecclesiastes is the story of how a man can have it all without really having anything at all. Someone here today may be in the process of creating your own monster. You may be toying with envy over what somebody else has. It's becoming a beast in your life, envy. The neighbors who live behind me growing up in Ohio always seemed to be living above their means. Their son Jim was just a year older than I was, and he always seemed to have the latest and greatest. When I had my little mini bike with a 3.5-horse Tecumseh, he had the mini bike with a Homelite chainsaw engine. I'm not making this up. That thing went about 70 miles an hour. It was an incredible little machine. Jim was the first in the neighborhood to have the AMC Gremlin. Raise your hand if you remember that car. The AMC Gremlin, okay? We thought it was cool then. Looks ugly now. It was all white with a red pinstripe, red interior leather. Oh, man. But one day the police came to their house and arrested Jim's dad. He went to prison for several years for embezzlement. The monster of envy had swallowed him up. You may covet someone's appearance. You may cover certain talents another man or woman possesses. Another person here today might be tightly gripping a grudge against someone in your past. And you know, the bitterness you feel has a certain comfort about it. Besides, feelings like this can't really do any damage, right? Wrong. Hebrews 12:15, the writer warns us, many are corrupted by the poison of bitterness and resentment. This anger can become a brute that will destroy several relationships. Someone here may be creating a Godzilla of pride. Maybe it began as a passion for a healthy self-image, but it grew into this grotesque self-absorption. Such arrogance and self-centeredness will become a stumbling block in every area. One spiritual giant remarked, "Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick but the person who has it." How's that for a one-liner? I think that was George Whitefield. I've had a hard time tracing that. Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick but the person who has it. These are just a few of the monsters of self. We create them, and then we need to somehow cope with their presence and power over us. Second in your notes, the monsters of Satan. Would you write that down? Self, Satan. Let's get a few things straight about the devil. If you're a casual Christian, Satan hates you, but he appreciates your lukewarmness. He will make every attempt to keep you that way. If you are a committed Christian, the devil hates you even more. And he will make every attempt to dampen your spiritual fervor. You recall Job faced a direct hit by the monsters of Satan. Lucifer was convinced this so-called holy man was only loving Jehovah because he was privileged to live in luxury. "Take that plush life away," the devil snarled, "and he will curse you to your face." God allowed that test to proceed. Job passed it. Paul talked about the monsters of Satan released in his life. "To keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from getting proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness.'" Friends, the monsters are coming. Some of them we create, others from our enemy, the devil. And here's a third source, the monsters of the Savior. The monsters of the Savior. Now, we all know that God does not tempt us to commit sin and then stand back to see what happens. James assures us, God is never tempted to do wrong. And he never tempts anyone else either, James 1:13. But the Lord can, the Lord will test us. Some of those trials can be monstrous. In Genesis 22, we're told God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. What follows is the story of the greatest beast this patriarch ever had to face. The prospect of stabbing his own son to death to prove his absolute loyalty to Jehovah God. As Abraham's commitment was undeniably confirmed, the boy's life was spared with, shall we say, split-second timing. In John 6, a monstrous crowd had gathered, and it was lunchtime. Jesus asked Philip to find a Taco Bell that could supply 5,000 grande meals in about 10 minutes. Then the writer tells us a little secret about the Savior's ridiculous request. I love this. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. I just love that. Oh yes, the monsters are coming, and some of them directly from the Lord himself. But now we need to ask, what kind of monsters are out there? What kind? I think I told you in April about that man who was bragging about the hearing aid he had that was exactly like the one President Reagan had. And so his friend said, well, what kind is it? He said, it's about 10:30. Not working real well, was it? All right. Well, let's go back to the three sources and get more specific about the kinds of beasts that we may encounter. First, again, using that word self, self-assembled monsters. We've already looked at the Godzillas of pride and envy and bitterness. What about the monster of greed? Put that down. The monster of greed.
The point is, ladies.
Some of us assume here this morning that you've earned a buy on this temptation. You say, I don't have much money. Greed isn't a problem for me. Materialism is a matter of the heart, friends. It has absolutely nothing to do with your bank account. All of us are called to a life of sacrifice and giving, regardless of the number of zeros at the end of our annual income. Greed is a monster that can occupy our time and our energy. It can become an emotional drain that leads to physical complications. Oh, Paul nailed this. True religion with contentment is great wealth. After all, we didn't bring anything with us when we came into the world. We certainly cannot carry anything with us when we die. One of the more subtle self-assembled monsters is gossip. I want you to write that down. Gossip. When the story is good. Listen to the stern warning of James. The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. It's a flame of fire. It's full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction. It is set on fire by hell itself. Some of you have developed bad habits along these lines. You've got something that seems negative to say about just everything. Family members, a work associate, someone at church. It's not hard to find someone to listen either, is it? Comedian Henny Youngman said, I seldom repeat gossip the way I hear it. So many churches, so many ministries have been destroyed by a few slanderous people who are determined to trash the reputation of someone in the fellowship. Oh, this is such a serious matter in the church today. Let's not forget the monster of rebellion. The monster of rebellion. There's an ancient movie called The Wild Ones starring Marlon Brando, and I wanted you to see one very brief clip from this. Johnny, what are you rebelling against? His answer, what do you got? Isn't that the very depiction of the rebellious heart? Doesn't matter what it is, I'll rebel against it, because I'm a rebel. This is the one that brought Jaws into Jonah's life. Prophet had no one else to blame but himself. God says, go east. Obstinate Jonah says, I'm going west. In every church that I have assisted seems to have its radicals, those folks who just, you know, love to push the envelope in every possible way. And our culture accepts this as part of the personal growth process, but God has a very different view. Listen to Samuel's sobering commentary on rebellion in his conversation with Saul. Rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Friends, this is no casual thing to God. There's a clear connection, isn't there, between that spirit of rebellion and Satan himself. Because he was originally cast out of Satan, out of heaven itself, for his blatant insubordination. That defiant attitude that some of you cherish is a monster that will demolish everything in its path. What kind of beasts are out there? Among those we create, envy, pride, greed, bitterness, gossip, rebellion, so many others could be named. Now look at that second source, the Satan-assembled monsters. Satan-assembled. The devil has this vast array of Godzillas to provoke phantom fears and despair. I can remember going for an early morning run in the dark several years ago, and I thought I saw something on the curb just crouched and ready to attack me. But it wasn't a mad dog, it was a glad bag. How relieved I was, you know. Not a mad dog, a glad bag. It was garbage day. Our enemy is very skilled in these kinds of apparitions. Think about the monster of doubt in your notes there. The monster of doubt. Lucifer started instigating skepticism with Eve there in the Garden of Eden. Listen to him in Genesis 3:1. Did God really say that you must not eat any of the fruit? And this continues to be one of the devil's dirtiest tricks. He wants us to doubt the existence of God, doubt our forgiveness, doubt our salvation, doubt the reality of heaven and hell. Satan knows when our faith is weak, we are vulnerable to other temptations. Our witness will be diminished. When my father was in his mid-30s, he went through a 3-week struggle with the devil and doubting. It was an intense battle, but Dad always insisted that he was a deeper man of God for having had to go through this dark experience in his life. The monster of doubt is coming for all of us. To one degree or another, in one way or another, we will wrestle with unbelief. Another devil-inspired monster, depression. Depression. This tends to be a close cousin to doubt. But it's different because it carries a heavier load of emotional baggage. Listen to Paul describe his own encounter with depression. He says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. By the way, I love the Phillips translation on the last portion of that verse. Knocked down, but never knocked out. I just love that. We're told Jesus was filled with horror and deep distress as he contemplated his crucifixion and separation from his Father. He said to his disciples, Mark 14:34, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Please stay here and watch with me." The devil wanted nothing more than for Jesus to abort the plan of salvation at that moment of dismal depression. There are so many ways the enemy can work to bring us to this point of utter despair. This is a monster that will come for us all. Satan will also create Godzillas out of divisive people. I want you to write that down. Divisive people. Now, this may be difficult to accept or understand, but here it goes. There will be people in every church who just thrive on chaos. They are the happiest when things are the messiest. Some of you don't even recognize it, but you may be a tool of the devil to bring dissension to the body of Christ. For those who wish to flee to another church, another denomination for peace and tranquility, it's reality check time. This kind of turmoil knows no denominational barriers. I know of a church in another state in the United States where a clergyman was confronted during his very first week by a leader who said, "Pastor, I just want you to know that I've gotten rid of 6 pastors before you came, and I can get rid of you too." Welcome! Huh? How about that, eh? Wouldn't it be a great way to start? True story. These monsters are coming. And please bear in mind, the devil always goes for the jugular vein. Please bear that in mind. He is not messing around. He is passionate about destroying the church of Jesus Christ through every means that is his passion. I hasten to a third category, the Savior assembled monsters. We've talked about the fact that the Lord tests us, and I think he does so in 3 areas. I want you to write down the monster test of faith. Would you put that down first? Monster test of faith. For many of us, I think this will center around financial matters. Over and over, we're going to be challenged. Will you recommit to Matthew 6:33? He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Either that's true or the whole Bible is false. But we need to keep coming back, don't we? At least my wife and I've had to. We have to keep coming back. Some of us will be challenged to have great faith for our own healing or someone else's. God will test others to believe him for special ministries to which he will call them. Many will be called to pass the exam of trusting the Lord for the salvation of a very stubborn friend or relative or work associate or neighbor. These tests of our faith can look like behemoths. Incredible, invincible. And then the monster test of obedience. The monster test of obedience. Although he failed it initially, Jonah got a second chance and passed the exam. According to Jonah 3:3, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. Friends, so many times we find ourselves at that T intersection in life. We can turn right to obey, or we can turn left to disobey. Sitting here this morning, it may seem like an easy choice. "Oh, Pastor Tom, I'm always going to comply with the will of Christ. I'll always take the right." But that's much easier said than done in the heat of the battle. God will call some of us into difficult situations like Hosea or Jeremiah. Others around you will just seem like they're sailing along in calm, and you're battling typhoons. It doesn't seem fair. The same could be said for those seeking to be a lighthouse in your secular occupation. Some face formidable foes. Others seem to avoid conflict entirely. But here's the question of questions. Will you obey the Lord? Will you? Remember, the disciples came to Jesus once and complained, you know, well, look at so-and-so. And Jesus said, what is that to you? You follow me. Will you follow him wherever he leads, regardless of what it may cost? The test of obedience is coming. And then, of course, the monster test of perseverance. Aren't you glad I spelled that one for you? The spell checker always gets me on this one. Perseverance. This ties into the beast created by Satan, doesn't it? When we're struggling with doubts, will we hang in there till we can see that light at the end of the tunnel? Or will we cave in to the disbelief of the moment and cast our faith aside? When depression sweeps over us like a flood, will we persevere and trust the Lord to bring us through those dark emotions? Or will we turn our backs on Christ because the load just seems too heavy to bear? As divisive people launch their personal attacks, will we hold on tightly to Jesus with the assurance that he will strengthen us for the onslaught? That is, the scriptures say, God is our defense. Or will we fight fire with fire and become like our assailants in their carnal rage? This monster is coming. Will you be ready? That leads to our final question, and we'll be quickly wrapping this up. Now, how can these monsters be defeated? How can they be defeated? Well, there are three words to answer this, and you've just heard them. These three qualities will lead us to victory. And I want you to think, as we're going through this now, how your life experiences have prepared you to defeat these ugly monsters. First, through faith. Through faith. Can you spell overdue bills? Strange illness? Unemployment? These are huge monsters for some of us. We wonder, how can we survive? God wants to see us through these experiences. Will we trust him with all of our hearts? Because the monsters can be defeated through faith. Second, through obedience. Through obedience. Now, some of us didn't like the rules our parents imposed on us growing up. But it was actually good preparation, wasn't it, for obeying the Lord? Because guess what? You won't like some of the things that God wants you to do either. Eat your broccoli. Sometimes God says that in a manner of speaking. But our obedience now and later will enable us to conquer the monsters that are coming. With regard to perseverance, God is teaching some of us to wait on him in some area of our Christian walk. How well I remember my long wait for a wife. I thought I heard wedding bells on several occasions in college. I was just a ding-a-ling. The Lord had a wife selected for me, but he didn't let me know about it till I was almost 25 years old. Finally, one day, we met at that travel agency. Arliss was looking for a vacation, and I was the last resort. No, I think I told you the real story. The Lord had actually told Arliss in a dream that she was going to marry a man with four characteristics. He was going to be a minister, tall, dark, and handsome. And Arliss likes to say, three out of four ain't bad. Hang in there, friend. Wait patiently. patiently on the Lord. Whatever it is in your life right now that you just feel like you've got to rush to answer, wait patiently for Him. Some years ago, I was invited to Orlando for the 25th anniversary of a wedding of a friend of mine from Asbury College days. Steve was surprising his wife by bringing back the original wedding party. Isn't that a cool idea? We had a wonderful time renewing our friendship. Some of us had not seen each other for 23 years. Boy, were they all bald. The only downside of the weekend was hearing about fellow classmates who had fallen by the wayside spiritually. In fact, some of them had bailed on the Christian faith entirely. And you know what? Some of those very people would have been voted most likely to succeed in their Christian walk when they were with us on campus in the 1970s. Absolutely, they would have been voted most likely to succeed. So what happened? The monsters came. And they weren't ready. They failed in their faith, obedience, perseverance, perhaps a combination of these. But I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't have to be this way. The monsters will fall. We can be ready to win the battle through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning?